അസ്സലാമു അലൈക്കും വറഹ്മത്തുള്ളാഹി വബറകാതുഹു. അൽഹംദുലില്ലാഹ് വകഫ വസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലാ സയ്യിദിനിൽ മുസ്തഫ സ്വല്ലല്ലാഹു അലൈഹി വഅലാ ആലിഹി വഅസ്ഹാബിഹി വബാരക വസല്ലമ തസ്ലീമാ കസീറാൻ കസീറാ. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقد قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, over the past 2 weeks we have been discussing a hadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in that hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for weak people like us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving some direction, some nasihat, some advice, that those people who cannot, for whatever reason, they cannot get up for tahajjud salat, then at least they should stay away from sins. Then on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, they will be equated with those people who were getting up for tahajjud salat. The second point that we discussed was that if a person cannot keep nafil fast, if a person cannot keep optional rozas and fasts, then at least stay away from the sins of the tongue. Stay away from backbiting, from false oaths and qasams, from cursing people, and from other kinds of sins related to the tongue. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person should at least control his tongue. The third category that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discussed, it might not be in the same order, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that those people who cannot go for jihad, those people who cannot go and get martyrdom in the battlefield, they cannot give their lives for the sake of deen in the field of jihad, then they must make jihad against their nafs. They must fight their nafs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on account of this jihad, this war that they are waging against their nafs, when it comes to the evil desires in that nafs, in that heart, the jihad that they have to wage against it, it is sometimes much more difficult than the jihad on the battlefield, because this jihad is an ongoing jihad. It's a 24-hour jihad. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that these people also, if they are going to wage this jihad, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them those same rewards of those people who were martyred in his path. Of course, there are stages, and those people are going to definitely get higher rewards if together with that jihad they also abstain from sins. Those people who together with staying away from sins, if they are going to keep nafil fast, then they will definitely get much more rewards. Those people who stay away from sins and they make tahajjud salat also, they will definitely get much more reward. But for those people who are not making tahajjud salat, who are not going for jihad, and who are not keeping this nafil fast, then this is what Rasul-e-Pak Sahasam said. Before we go on to the fourth point, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have heard more than enough times that he was rahmatul lil alameen. Every little Muslim child knows that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rahmatul lil alameen. And therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's desire, his heartfelt desire, was that not only those who have believed in him must enter Jannat and gain the closeness and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but that even the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara and the Munafiqeen, they too must make sincere tawbah from all their sins. They must make tawbah from kufr and shirk and nifaq, and they too must become deserving of Jannat. That was his lifelong ambition. That was his desire. That was his concern. And for that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spent restless nights. For that, he stood whole night in prayer. For that, he shed so much of tears and so much of his blood. It is unfortunate that we don't appreciate the sacrifices of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which he made for us. Nevertheless, these sins, they are the cause of all the problems that we are seeing in the world. Unfortunately, we as Muslims, we look at those who are indulging in sins, who are not believers in Islam. We look at their wealth, we look at their properties, we look at the gold and silver mines that they own, we look at the oil wells that they own, we look at the beautiful aeroplanes that they own, which are in private ownership, we look at their palaces, and then, although we might not say it very openly, but deep down in our heart, we believe that if these people were sinful, if these people were committing so much of sins, then why is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala giving them so much? So I've explained that in the past also, that this world is a jannat for them. We should not look at them because it is jannat for them. They must enjoy somewhere. The fruits of their good deeds, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to them in this world. They give some charities, they build some hospitals, they are generous and kind, and they show favors upon their neighbors and upon the, and they do good to the poor and the needy and the destitute and the orphans, and they build up schools and colleges. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them plentiful here, let them enjoy themselves here. They must get some reward for their good deeds. For the Muslim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them a little in this world, and he keeps it for the hereafter. No matter how much Allah ta'ala gives that believer, it is nothing in comparison with that which Allah ta'ala will be giving him in the hereafter. So even if he does not get a single cent in this world, still Allah ta'ala is going to give him so much in the hereafter, that this whole life he will say that all those difficulties and all those hardships were like a dream, as if I never ever suffered any hardship and difficulty in the world. But together with that, Allah ta'ala gives the believers who are obeying Allah ta'ala some gift which all these palaces and all the money and all the wealth and all the gold and silver cannot compare with, and that is that sakina in their hearts, that peace of mind, that tranquility, that serenity, that joy, that satisfaction, that contentment, that happiness that my Allah is pleased with me, that I am trying to please my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I am doing everything for his pleasure, and therefore anything that is happening with his will and with his order. So they get such kind of peace and happiness which all these things cannot compare with. Nevertheless, if we look at the hadiths of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we look at the Quranic verses, then we all know very well that the destruction of the ummats of the past was on account of their sins. There is no doubt about it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroyed those nations, whether it was the Aad or the Samud or the Qawm of Fir'aun, whichever Qawm, whether it was Qawm of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, all these people were destroyed on account of their sins. So the major problems in the world, they are on account of the sins of the believers. We must not look at the sins of the disbelievers. It is on account of the sins of the believers that these problems are occurring. Because wherever the believers made the correct effort in their own lives, in their family lives, and in the environment, and people start obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala poured the barakat and the rahmat in those places. Allah ta'ala made the rains of rahmat pour in those areas, and we saw them enjoying the fruits of their good deeds even in this world. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is why he is saying that if you cannot get up for tahajjud salat, then that is an optional thing. If you get up, you will get great rewards, but if you cannot, then restrain yourself from haram. This is one effort that will remain the theme of my talks, no matter which way you look at it, because that is the area that I have found with experience, that so many people have been writing, so many people have been telling me, that the moment they gave up sins in their lives, major sins, for the minor sins, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is so merciful and so kind, that over little ibadat and actions, he forgives those minor sins. Those people who are making wuzu, when they are washing their hands, the sins of the hands, the minor sins are washed away. The sins of the face, the minor sins are washed away. The sins of the feet, the minor sins are washed away. So many other ibadat, if we touch on that topic, it's going to be another lengthy subject, but so many actions and so many deeds, you're just shaking hands with a Muslim brother, sincerely. There is no munafiqat and hypocrisy. You are shaking hands in the true brotherhood of Islam. The sins of the person is falling off. We may not see it with our eyes because we do not have the eyes of the heart. Many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about these eyes. And when Allah Ta'ala says that they are blind, in one place Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that they are not blind with their sight, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ, but their hearts have become blind. Meaning that with their physical eyes they are still seeing as any other person will see, but they have become blind in their hearts. So this means that there are two eyes. One eye is the one which we have on our faces, which we term as the physical eye. And another eye Allah Ta'ala has given to the Ahlullah, which we term as the spiritual eye. So what they see with their spiritual eyes, we cannot see with our physical eyes. So therefore, outwardly, we are not seeing those sins falling. But if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us, then it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So brothers, there is nothing to lose hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. Some people sometimes feel that we have gone too far. And they say also, yes, I was explaining to you that many people, they have stated that when they gave up sins, and you will be surprised that what are those sins. For example, I have a letter from an accountant. I will not mention any names, it is just for the sake of lesson. That the person writes, he says that I was buying properties. He's an accountant, he also inherited some properties, and he says I was going on buying properties. And most of those properties were on bond. Most of those properties were on bond. This is just of one accountant, I'm telling you. There are other accountants and doctors and other professional people also writing and business people. They say, I was taking all these properties on bond. In other words, there was no need to go to the banks and borrow on interest and go and buy these properties. There was absolutely no need. Because unfortunately, our minds are made up that I must not take interest. But if I give interest, there is no harm in it. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not say that it is permissible to give interest. Because if you are going to give interest, you are promoting interest-based societies. So here this person, he did not understand at that time that to give interest is equally haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of the category of people that he has mentioned whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala curses, amongst them is this category also, the person who takes interest, the person who gives interest, the person who writes down that contract, the person who witnesses it, the person who aids and helps the person in getting that interest loan. Everybody is involved in that. So it is not that only the taking of interest is haram. Even the giving is haram, equally haram. It is just that there are circumstances that sometime a person is in such a position, he is so desperate that there is nobody to give him any kind of interest-free loan, and he has to survive. Then at that time, just as pork becomes halal for the person, or permissible for the person to eat, just to save his life. Not that he must dish out and he must start enjoying grilled pork. It must be just to save his life, to keep his back straight, so that he may be able to then go and earn a halal living. Not for enjoyment and pleasure that the person is allowed to go and start eating pork. So in the same way, this person who is that desperate that there is nobody to give him any kind of interest-free loan, and he doesn't have any surplus assets with him, he doesn't have those luxury items which he can dispose of and pay off those debts of his or survive, then at that time we will say that to the extent that it is necessary, the person goes and borrows some money on interest and considers it as haram, but pays it off as quickly as possible, makes tawbah and istighfar also, we will say that that is permissible to some extent. But this person says that definitely that was, I was like one of those normal borrowers from the banks, that it was just the greed which was in my heart that I was buying properties because I was getting a lot of income, and it was mostly on bond. He says that created such a dissension and so much of friction and so much of disunity in our family, and especially in my home, that my marriage was on the verge of breaking. He says that we used to fight and quarrel and argue over every little thing for no obvious reason. There were not such incidents that would have created such an argument and quarrel. But over little things, he says, when I used to enter my home, there is nothing else but fights and arguments. Now if this person had gone to some Tawiz wala, then the Taweez wala would have told him, jadu ho gaya, jinn ho gaya, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya. Straight away they would have told him that. But nobody would have told him, bhai, please give up sins in your life. Give up sins in your life. And the moment we say give up sins in your life, the first thing that we think of, it's alhamdulillah, maulana, I don't commit any zina. Alhamdulillah, I don't go to the cinema and theater. That is about all we know as sins. But they did not regard these things as major sins. So he says that after listening to your talks and after attending the majlises and the programs, and when we made up our mind that we are going to sell the surplus properties and pay off all the bank loans and then survive on whatever we get, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us not only barakat. He says we are seeing so much of barakat in the home, but at the same time there's so much of happiness. And he says, Maulana, I can take a qasam and say that there's so much of happiness that it seems as if we are just newly married. So isn't this evidence enough, and isn't this proof enough to show that when the person gave up sins in his life, Allah Ta'ala brought happiness in his life? This is the usul and this is the principle of Sharia, that the moment we will give up sins, then we will find peace and happiness in our lives. Otherwise the properties will increase, the bank balances will increase, the children will increase, and the professions, we will get degrees upon degrees and qualifications upon qualifications. But within the heart there will be that restlessness, that uneasiness, that misery, and those worries and those anxieties that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows. So this is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatun lil alameen, and he did not want to see anybody in this world suffer from these kind of calamities and problems. Yes, problems will come, and it came upon the rasools of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It came upon the nabis, it came upon the walis, and it will go on coming. But problem or hardship or difficulty is something else. And restlessness of the heart and uneasiness and worries and anxiety is something else. Those people, they also have problems. But show us one occasion where Wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said that now I just cannot take these problems anymore, I'd rather take my life. And yet we get so many people, so many without exaggeration, so many young people who have hardly got any worries. They've got just some problem with their parents, they've got some problem with their brothers and sisters, or they've got a little bit of financial problem. And the first thing they say, Maulana, I'm so sick and tired of life, I'd rather just take my life. I can't take it anymore. So if the person has got a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he is obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, فَاسْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَاسْكُرُونِي, you remember me, أَذْكُرْكُمْ, I will remember you. And the tafsir of that has been made as, فَاسْكُرُونِي بِالْإِطَاعَةِ, you remember me with obedience, that you be obedient to me. And then I will remember you, أَذْكُرْكُمْ بِالْعِنَايَةِ, I will remember you with my favors. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, even in those difficulties and even in those hardships which has come from him as a test, Allah will be the one who will give him sabr and patience, and Allah ta'ala will be the one who will give him, who, it will be like the flower which blooms in the midst of thorns, that this person's heart will be like that. Allah ta'ala will give him those inayats. Allah ta'ala will bless him with so much of favors because he is obedient. It will be just like the examiner who sets out a question paper for his students and for his pupils. And after he has set the paper, which is tough, which is difficult, then the examiner says, give your hand into my hand and I will write the answers for you. So if the examiner is going to write the answers for this person, what problem will he have? Allah Ta'ala will give the person the test and Allah Ta'ala will write the answers for him. And when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to draw someone towards him, then he creates the opportunities. I have mentioned many times that this 15-20 minute talk of Jummah, we can speak on many things that's happening around the world. Alhamdulillah, with Allah Ta'ala's fazal, we also know of lots of things that are happening around the world. But when will we light up our hearts? Around the world, a lot of things are happening. But what is happening to the world of our heart? This is a world also which we have got. When will we bring about a change in that heart? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is so kind and so merciful that even in the midst of sins, Allah ta'ala doesn't forget us. We are forgetting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Zunnun Misri rahmatullah alayh, he was on the shores of the river Nile. He was sitting there, engaged in his ibadat, and suddenly he sees that a crab came onto the shore. A crab came onto the shore. After a little while, a huge scorpion came and sat on the crab. And the crab began moving towards the other end of the shore, the other end of the Nile, the other side, in the opposite direction. So Hazrat Zunnun Misri rahmatullah alayh, when he looked at this, he said, something definitely is happening here. This crab came from somewhere, came out onto the shore, a huge scorpion got onto it and now it's taking it across. Something is happening. So he also hired a boat and he crossed onto the other side. When he went onto the other side, he of course arrived before this crab. When he arrived there, he sees that there is a person there who is drunk, who is lying on the ground and is completely drunk. He is intoxicated. So the Zunnun Misri Rahmatullah Alayh, he looks around, he sees that there's a huge snake that is coming towards this person. Huge black snake. Just then this crab also arrives. The scorpion jumps off and the scorpion moves towards that snake that is coming. This person is still there in his intoxicated state. And the scorpion goes and stings that snake. The poison of the scorpion kills the snake. When the snake was killed, Hazrat Zunnun Misri Rahmatullah Alayh moved this person, got him up after he washed his face and all that, and this person became a little sober. Then he told him that, brother, this is what I saw with my eyes. You were here lying down, drunk, intoxicated. This snake was coming for you, and this Allah Ta'ala made this intizam and this arrangement that this crab brings a scorpion across the river Nile and saves your life. So the person same time made tawbah. He same time repented, he made tawbah. So Hazrat Zunnun Misri Rahmatullah Alayh told him, he said, this is my Allah, that you had forgotten Allah. You had distanced yourself from Allah. In fact, the person said himself, when he became sober, he said, oh my Allah, you are the one who is merciful, forgiving and kind, and compassionate and caring for even people like me. That I was the one who distanced myself from you. I was the one who did not show any concern for your ni'mats and for your favors. How caring you are that for the saving of my life, you even brought this whole scorpion across. So Allah Ta'ala, we do not know in which way He is saving us. How many times we hear people saying that my life was saved by seconds. How many times? In my own life, how many times I remember that had it been just a little this way or that way, it would have been death in an accident. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so much of favors. How merciful and how kind and how forgiving. But all He wants is that we should take these ni'mats of His into consideration and make tawbah before death comes. For if not, then that same Allah who is giving the opportunity now during our lifetime to make tawbah, He can snatch it away in Nizamabad, in Nazimabad, in Karachi. My Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Akimah Dakhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says that we went to one janaza, and in that janaza, or we went to see a person who was on his dying bed, and it was said that this person is trying to make tawbah now, but he cannot say the word tawbah. He can say, take me to hospital, call the doctor, do this, do that, bring the medication, he can say everything. The only word that is not coming onto his lips is tawbah. Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah Ta'ala snatched away that tawfiq of tawbah, because Allah gave him enough chance. Now at the time of death, then it is too late. I was going to discuss the fourth point, but the time has expired. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding that no matter how much we try, in whichever direction we go, some people are suggesting that if the Muslim businesses become very prosperous and if we can increase our economies and all that, then our problems will be solved. There is no doubt that that Muslims should work hard in every field. We need good lecturers, we need good doctors, we need good professors, and we need scientists also. Muslim countries require scientists, they require everything. And businesses also. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says, when he went to Hyderabad, in those days the Nawabs used to live there. He says, jab maine musalmanon ki tijarate dekhi ke they are prospering, they are flourishing. It gave me great satisfaction and happiness, because we need a very strong economy also. But the unfortunate and sad part is this, that our progress is only in one direction. It has to be coupled, it has to be married with spiritual progress. Then we will see barakat, we will see rahmat, we will see Allah Ta'ala's fazal, Allah Ta'ala's inayat, Allah Ta'ala's karam, and Allah Ta'ala's ihsan, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and kindness, and everything we will see. So may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not only give us plenty of material wealth, there's no harm in seeking from Allah Ta'ala material wealth and progress, but at the same time we must ask Allah Ta'ala for a very, very strong spiritual heart. When we will have the both, then see how beautiful our lives will come. Very, very pleasant, very, very comfortable, very happy. In whatever state the person will be, there will be contentment and satisfaction. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.